So no towel today, huh? Alright. Who else has a degree in chemistry here? I'm talking to the non-kids, obviously. Tal has a PhD in chemistry, doesn't he? Does anyone else have a degree in chemistry here? No? Physics? You have a degree in physics? You what? What? Is that what you want to major in? No. Well, you want to major in calculus? You can't major in calculus, but anyway. Howard, have you ever taken chemistry in school?
No, I'm taking biology.
You're taking biology. Okay, who's taken chemistry so far in school, okay? Or you were taking chemistry? Like, what year in school are you, Tiffany? Well, that doesn't tell me anything. Okay, well, I know that, but are you sophomore, junior, freshman? You're a freshman? Okay. You're already taking chemistry, that's pretty good. I didn't take chemistry until I was a junior, so that's good. I guess you guys are interclass, so you guys were born into chemistry, right? Well, one thing you know about chemistry is different chemicals react differently when you put them in different, agents, right? And that's why you get plastic, because you put different chemicals together, your different agents together, and they form plastic. Right, how many of you know what francium is? Anyone know what francium is? What's francium, Tiffany? Okay, that's good. Okay, why is it dangerous? What? Okay, well, everything can change to another, not just francium. That's just true of anything. I mean, if I put you in certain things, you'll change into a different substance too, okay? It's just the way it is. That sounds gross, though. But francium is very volatile. Okay, no one here is, that's why I need a towel. Who? No one else here is chemistry? Pastor, were you a chemical engineer?
Electrical.
Electrical, okay, he's safe. Okay, he doesn't know anything, okay, about chemistry, right? No one here, Oscar, what was your degree in? Oh, you're a chemical, good. Hey, I got him. Okay, what happens if I put francium in water? What's going to happen? A sonic boom, right? It's going to explode, right? Now, but if I put other things in water, nothing's going to happen, right? If I put gold in water, it's just going to sink, right? Okay, gold also is an element. Things are different, okay? Not everyone reacts the same to everyone, okay? Sometimes... How many of you get really sad when someone doesn't like you? Okay. The reality is that we all are hurt when people don't like us. Alright? I told you I'm a sports writer, and sometimes people really don't like me. And so on Twitter they'll attack me. And it hurts me. It makes me mad sometimes. Because it's kind of pedantic why they attack me. But hey, at sports, people are pedantic. And I instead of getting all mad at them, I said, okay, everyone who attacks me, I must pray for them. Instead of attacking them. You have to realize that not everyone likes you. Okay, how many of you've read a book or you saw a movie that was so awesome and someone else read the same book or saw the same movie and they said, oh, it was dumb? Did that ever happen? Okay. People react differently. People will not like everything. All right, how many of you think Brad Pitt's really handsome? Girls. You don't think he's handsome? You like Ryan Gosling? Okay, how many of you girls don't think Ryan Gosling is handsome? You guys all think he's handsome? You think he's cute? Joy? Tiffany one, you think he's cute? You know who Ryan Gosling is? Was he the guy that, in that one, the one where he was in love with that mannequin or something? Or you guys ever see that? Lars? Joy took me, it was a free showing. It's really weird. He fell in love with a mannequin or something. Anyway. But not everyone thinks the same movie stars are handsome or pretty, right? I mean, I told you guys I like Bruce Lee. But not everyone likes Bruce Lee. In fact, some people think Bruce Lee's dumb. In fact, one time I went to my friend's house and said, oh, he's terrible, Let me show you Jet Li or Jackie Chan. He's way better, Also still alive. I mean, can you imagine if Bruce Lee lived, how cool his movies would have been? The point is that we all respond differently to different situations. Not everyone likes you, alright? Not everyone likes the same things you like. Certain things you like a lot, other people won't like at all. Right? They're like agents. They're like elements. Okay? Different elements respond differently when they're in the same presence. You put francium in water, I'm going to run away to Texas right now. Or I'm going to run back to Houston right now. Okay? You put sodium in water, I'll be like, oh, no big deal. Who cares? Right? Pass the pepper. Right? We all react differently to different situations. And then when you read the Bible, you'll see that everyone responds differently to Jesus as well. Some people bow and call him Lord. Some people try to kill him. Some people acknowledge that he's the King of Kings and worship him. Other people, their kingdom is threatened. They try to destroy him. Right? We talked about that earlier this morning about how people in power are threatened. So that's what we'll see today, is that people respond differently to Jesus. Okay? Let's see here. Who read? Is Shannon still here? Where'd she go? Oh, there you are. Did you read this morning, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2? Okay, can you stand up and read those verses again? Okay. Magi from the east, they saw his star. It wasn't that they read the Bible. It wasn't that an angel talked to them. Magi, they saw his star in the east. Now, how many of you know your Chinese zodiac sign? You know what I'm talking about? Okay. Gigi, what are you? You're a horse? Are you guys all the same age? Okay. Angel, what are you? You're younger than her? Do you know what are you? You're a sheep? Okay. Zoe, what are you? Do you know? You're a horse, so you're the same age. Okay, Catherine, do you know what you are? You're a snake. Ooh. Okay. Stephanie, where are you? You're also a snake. Okay. Okay. Well, I'm a dog. I really don't like these signs. The only one I really want to be is a dragon. Rabbit? Who wants to be a rabbit? Snake? Pig? That's the worst. How many, anybody here a pig? Oh, you are? Okay. See you, Catherine. So he's at least 24 years older than you. You know that? Or 36 years old. So let me see him. I'm going to guess Pastor Chow. I doubt he'd be 48 years older than you. But you never know. That'd be scary. Oh, maybe. Anyway, I'm throwing him under the bus this morning. Because it goes by 12 years. It's all based on the stars. And, you know, it used to be I was thinking, this stuff is stupid. And some of it is stupid. Because they tell you should marry, you know, like what I think I forgot who I had to marry, but they tell you which sign you should marry. That's stupid. Okay, that's just trying to sell you fortune cookies. Right? But if you read, those of you in science, if you study the stars, you will see that the stars reveal amazing things. They can tell you a lot about the world if you study astronomy. Astronomy is one of the most amazing sciences to know God. All right, and so if you want to take an elective in science, take astronomy. It's pretty incredible how crazy the world is and how big the world is. But you begin to see how amazing God is. You really, any kind of hard science you study, you will see the amazingness of God. That's why I told you guys, when I watch National Geographic Channel, I go crazy because they all come from an evolutionary perspective. And it's like, wow, you know, you see 1,000 different forms of life in one show, marine biology, and they talk about evolution. I'm like, oh. Crazy. The Magi here, they see the stars. Somehow, through this knowledge, they were able to find Jesus Christ. Remember we talked about, the Bible says in Romans 1:20, that God reveals himself through creation. The Magi probably also have a lot of scrolls. They're probably wealth. Back then, you couldn't just get knowledge at the snap of your finger. Okay, now, if I'm interested in something, if I say, oh, I want to cook sushi, so I just go Google sushi. You know, I realized rice vinegar, sugar, salt. Melt the sugar and the salt in the rice vinegar, then pour it over short grain rice. Alright, that's all it is. And then all I have to do is put, you know, avocado on it, you know, vegetable and sushi. Actually, sushi is not that little piece of raw fish on the rice. You guys know that? That's a nigiri piece. That's a type of sushi. There's all kinds of sushi. But we have that kind of knowledge now, where we can just type whatever we're interested in on Google, and we will find it. They didn't have that back then. Back then, if you had scrolls, you were considered wealthy. To have any kind of knowledge recorded, that was reserved for the privileged. And so they probably had a copy of the book of Daniel, I believe. Because remember, Aramaic would have been the lingua franca. Half of the book of Daniel is written in Aramaic. The section in Daniel, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, where they talk about the Son of Man descending from heaven, that is written in Aramaic, where they attribute the Son of Man to God. And we know that Matthew attributes Jesus as the Son of Man. 27 times he refers to Jesus as the Son of Man. It was a direct reference to the Daniel, but also as a reference that Jesus is also indeed human. He's human and divine. The Magi, they probably have the book of Daniel, but they probably have other information, and they discern when and where Jesus is through the stars. Okay, that guy, I told you guys in the morning, there's a guy up in College Station that he studied all the stars and determined when Jesus was born based on the constellation. All the records they have of astronomy, he was able to argue that Jesus was born in 3 BC. And he believes Jesus died around AD 33. He used the stars. If you use science, science will always lead you to God. Remember I told you about mitochondrial DNA this morning? Right? Who was there for Grant, what did I say about mitochondrial DNA? Right, they trace it back to one woman. Okay, so since you're in biology, Howard, when you get to mitochondrial DNA and the teacher doesn't mention it, raise your hand and let the teacher know that they can trace all mitochondrial DNA back to one woman. In fact, they even call it Eve. Science will prove God. Isaac Newton. Most people acknowledge that he's not the greatest scientist, he's one of the three greatest. Isaac Newton was fueled by the Bible through his science. People say, well, it's because he was such a devout Christian that it prevented him from being a greater scientist. I think, what? The guy created calculus. How can you not be any greater than that? Newton was fueled by the Bible. In fact, a lot of the greatest scientists were deep Christians. If you surveyed the professors at Massachusetts Institute of Technology in the 1980s, almost all of them believed in God. They may not have been Christian, but all of them believed in God because they knew science so well. They knew that there's no way this world could exist by chance. Remember we talked about evolution? I argued that evolution, it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in God. Because evolution, they believe that one cell somehow developed out of a primordial soup. They have no good explanation how that primordial soup came to be. That's their God. Okay, the Bible, then people say, well, who created God? And I say, well, the Bible says God has never been created. The Bible says God has always been. All right? God is beyond us. All right? We exist in four dimensions, right? Length, width, space, and time, right? Those are the four dimensions we exist in. Astrophysics has proved 11 dimensions. Can you believe that? I asked an astrophysicist how that was, and I couldn't understand a word he was saying except for one phrase. He said rotation of the planets. That's all I understood. Everything else he told me, I was like, ooh, over my head. I didn't care. I don't need to explain it. But astrophysics scientifically has proved that there's 11 dimensions in the universe. There's probably a lot more. But that means there's 7 dimensions that we're not even aware of that exist, physically exist in science. God is always revealing to us that he is there. If you seek him, you will find him. I talked to you about that when missionaries go to these tribal groups a lot of times are ready because they've been in God's nature. They know that God is out there. Remember the Bible says he reveals himself through nature, through the creation of the world. That's why these tribal groups that aren't part of civilization, there's something about them, they are sensitive to the spirit more than we are. Okay, most of you can walk through a whole day and never think about a tree, right? You can walk your whole day and not even see a tree. But you have to understand that God's created world, everything, right? Biology, chemistry, physics, every science has so much knowledge. It's beyond comprehension. Even plastics. Is there a journal of plastics out there? All people write about is plastics, do you know? Actually, I guess this is where Cal comes in. Anyone else in the research department at Interplast or Formosa? I realize now they're two separate places. No one here is in research? You're not? Uncle Benjamin, no? No. See, this is where Cal needs to be here. I know he is. I could pick on him. It'd be great. He'd be mad, though. But every field has lots of knowledge in it. Every field is a reminder that God is an infinite God. Right? Just in my own field, there's at least 100, if not more, journals just in biblical studies. The knowledge just in my field is vast. All knowledge points back to God. You don't have to just have the Bible to know. God reveals himself through many ways. Right? I think there's going to be a day where these people from National Geographic will see too many wonderful documentaries about marine biology and realize that there's no way evolution can be true. All right? It's just too amazing if you watch National Geographic Channel. All right? You see the dolphins swim through the water. You see these huge whales opening their mouths and drinking all the plankton. You see sharks, killer whales. Like I told you, my favorite was the bluefin tuna because it made me hungry. Maybe want sushi, even though we're overfishing them. But you just see these animals and just the amount of study these scientists push. There's scientists that all they do every day is study the bluefin tuna. You know that? They tag these tunas so they can find them. And that's all they do is study the bluefin tuna. They have a career out of that. They got a PhD in that. Can you imagine that, having a PhD in sushi? But this knowledge leads them, many people, to God. As I told you before, in the 80s, most professors at MIT believed in God. They just knew so much about science, they knew that this could not possibly happen unless someone greater created it. All right? Like most of you have a smartphone, like Shannon. Mom, you need to get Shannon a better smartphone. The S is pretty slow. See? I'm helping you now, Shannon. And then you're going to get home and she's going to spank you. So you're too old to be spanked, so you get grounded then. Sorry. But we said that, you know, these smartphones, they didn't happen by chance, right? You don't put a bunch of wires and metal in a box, shake it up, throw it against the wall, and all of a sudden you open the box and there's a smartphone, right? It reflects a very intelligent designer, someone who thought about the smartphone, someone who put the chips, who put the wires, who put the battery, all these things they put together, and finally they created this smartphone. I think I left mine in my car. Oh, no, I left it there. That's right. I knew I looked at it. And I told you, Cole, he can start building Legos. And he can actually start doing things that actually resemble something that's worth looking at. But even Legos, I can't take a bunch of Legos, shake them in a box, throw them against the wall, put heat to them, you know, throw it in water, and all of a sudden I open the box and there's this little thing that he built, right? That's even tough. You know, Cole puts his Legos together and he creates something. The world, the universe reflects intelligent design. That's the big phrase now. It reflects a smartphone maker. Does that make sense? If there's a smartphone, there has to be a smartphone maker. And that's the way the world is. And the Magi see that. They see the stars, they study what's been revealed, and they know that the King of the Jews will be born. And because of the stars, they study things, they know that he'll be born now. And so they leave to find the King of the Jews, and all they have is astronomy. God revealed himself. There's people out there that are seeking. Every human being is seeking something. All right? We all are seeking something. There's no such thing as a human being that's not seeking anything. Some people seek money, they seek power, they seek fame, they seek grades. We're all seeking something to make us feel significant. But every human being has a desire to be loved, and a desire to belong. And sometimes we seek this out of our own desire. We seek love to be good, right? I mean, Asian culture teaches you that if you get good grades, you're acceptable, right? You get bad grades, you're not acceptable. Asian culture teaches you that if you don't become a super smart straight A's, you're not acceptable. That's what Asian culture teaches us, right? It's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible says that we are acceptable because God loves us. Asian culture says that we are lovable if we succeed, right? It's not all bad. I'm not going to lie, but it's not all good either. Right? For years, I grew up with self-esteem issues because I felt, oh, if I didn't win this piano competition, if I didn't do this well in school, I was not lovable. And that's not a good thing to teach because that's not what the Bible teaches. Right? We are all seeking something. Everyone is seeking something. The Magi, after all their study, they realized the truth was in God. Some people, they realize after study, they realize that, you know what, there's really no answer. There's some people, they're really rich, they're really famous, and they realize they're emptier than they've ever been. All right, Tom Brady, who's the coach, who's the quarterback for the New England Patriots, after he won his third Super Bowl on 60 Minutes, I told you guys before, he said this, I caught it. 60 Minutes didn't go into it. I caught it. He said, is this all there is? Meaning, he said he achieved everything. He just built a house that was 22,000 square feet. That to me tells that there's a man there that's very empty. Because one way humans try to compensate for this emptiness is they try to build their own kingdom. Right? We're all empty people. And we're all trying to build our own kingdom. There's a point in time when you realize that only Jesus can fill this kingdom. Magi, after all their study, they realize, you know, this King of the Jews is the one. You know, they've experienced everything they know. Nothing else is out there. So they go out and seek the King of the Jews. Not everyone seeks God, though. Remember, some people oppose God. In fact, because every human being is seeking their own kingdom, because every human being seeks their own empire, sometimes people have to oppose Jesus. Because in order for them to keep their empire, they must eliminate the threats. Okay? And Herod is one of those. Herod is one who opposes Jesus. Magi seek Jesus, Herod opposes Jesus. Okay? Samantha, was it you who read chapter 2, verses 3 through 9, 8? That was, can you read it again? Stand up and read Matthew chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. Okay, we know that Herod is lying here. He doesn't want to worship Jesus at all. He's lying to the Magi. Okay, the Magi are probably very powerful people. There's not three Magi. Okay, we all grow up seeing We Three Kings of Orient. We all think there's just three Magi. There's probably a lot more. Clearly, they are in a big group of people. Because remember, they're traveling from the east, probably Persia, which is modern-day Iraq and Iran. It's a long trip. It's not long, like from Port Lavaca to Taiwan. That's really long. Right, I know James just came back from Taiwan. He's still a little jet lagged. I was wondering, I thought, oh, am I that boring? Now I know. He's jet lagged. He's tired. You need coffee, buddy. So it was long enough that this trip was very dangerous. So most likely the Magi had a huge army with them. And so when they enter Jerusalem, people know they're there. Because you just can't help but notice these people. In fact, they're prominent that Herod invites them to come and meet with him. Now, if I go to Washington, D.C. right now, what are the chances that Obama's going to meet with me? Probably the closest I can get to Obama is the McDonald's on Pennsylvania Avenue, if there's one there. I don't know. Have you guys ever been to the White House recently? Is there even a McDonald's close by? No one's been to D.C. recently. I haven't been there in so long. Or Starbucks. That's the closest I'll get to Obama. Maybe I'll go on a White House tour, maybe. But Obama's not going to care about me, right? But what if I'm Bill Gates? And Bill Gates goes to Washington, D.C. What do you think? Do you think Obama's going to want to meet with Bill Gates, a man who has over $60 billion? You think he's going to meet with Bill Gates? You betcher believe he will. If Bill Gates goes into Washington, D.C., people are going to know it, right? They're going to say, wow, Bill Gates is here. You know, I was in China one time when Bill Gates came to Shanghai. And everyone in Shanghai was talking about Bill Gates, Bill Gates, Bill Gates. He's coming. Everybody was wanting to go hear Bill Gates. So the Magi, to get a meeting with Herod, the Magi are prominent people. They're probably not magicians. They're probably rulers. They're very prominent. They have lots of wealth, and they have lots of education. And so Herod invites them to meet. If I go to Washington, D.C., Obama will not meet with me. He probably won't even give me a buck for a McDonald's dollar menu. But if Bill Gates goes to Washington, D.C., Obama will probably invite him to the White House and have a very nice meal with him. Well, I do have good coffee, and I know I've got better coffee than Obama does. So the point is, Herod here knows that Jesus is a threat. Okay, Herod is the king right now. He's appointed by the Roman government. So he's actually under the Roman government. The Roman government, they ruled the world at this time. And obviously, the emperor of Rome did not have time to go all over the world. Okay, back then, they didn't have planes. Okay, so for him to go all over the world to look at these places, he would have to either go by chariot and boat, horse. He just didn't have time to go. And so what the Romans did was they appointed rulers and kings over areas, and Herod was the king of the Jews. And so when Jesus is born king of the Jews, who's threatened? King Herod, right? Because Herod is the king. Herod was crazy. He killed his wife, he killed his sons, he killed other relatives. We talked about this morning, when rulers who have power are threatened, they try to eliminate their threat. All right? Now, no one really knew. Pastor Chow, do you know about the Cultural Revolution in China? Okay, can you tell everyone briefly how bad that was for China? Yeah, it was a terrible thing for China. In fact, one group of people that were targeted were scholars, right? Scholars, because Mao Zedong began to get scared. And when rulers get scared, they want to eliminate people. And so Mao Zedong, he tried to attack the people he thought could hurt him. Mao Zedong was never a scholar. All right, Deng Xiaoping was. I think Deng Xiaoping studied in France. And that's why when you see China today, Deng Xiaoping was one who started opening up China to capitalism. These economic zones, I believe, were Deng Xiaoping's thought. Right? Is that right? Okay, I want to make sure I'm right. I don't know my Chinese history as well as I should. But Mao Zedong, because he didn't have a high education, he became scared because, he was worried about people who were really smart that could overtake him. And Cultural Revolution really is we call it the cultural disaster. It really set China back. He was scared because he thought people could overtake him. Herod got scared and wanted to kill off Jesus. Herod opposes, Jesus because he says, rather than worshiping Jesus like the Magi do, who are leaders, who are rulers, he wants to destroy Jesus. And that's one reason why people can't become Christian, is because the life they live would be totally, totally ruined if they became a Christian. And my mom had a friend one time. We tried to share the gospel with him. He says, I can't become a Christian because I love Mahjong too much. He knew that if he became a Christian, he couldn't play Mahjong. Now, some of you play Mahjong for fun. But actually, Mahjong is the poker of Chinese. Most Mahjong is done with money, right? In fact, it's gambling. And he said, I can't become a Christian because I cannot give up Mahjong. He knew that. But all people, the reason why they reject Jesus is not because is because their personal life will be ruined. Remember I told you about that Harvard PhD professor I had this morning? I tried to share the gospel with him. He was mad that Jesus didn't draw a picture. He didn't paint a picture. That's why he was angry at Jesus. And I tried to preach the gospel to him. He told me, be quiet. He wouldn't accept any tract. And then I left. I realized the Bible said those who were wise, they were really fools. Or those who think they're wise, they really became fools. I saw that with my eyes. Okay, every time I watch National Geographic Channel, and I see the wonderful documentaries they have of the world, and then they talk about evolution, I remember the Bible says those who think they're wise become fools. It's so foolish to think that evolution could create such beauty. It's impossible. You can't even create a little Lego thing that Nicole can build, let alone, you know, bluefin tuna. I'm getting hungry too. But you have to understand that people oppose Jesus. When you share the gospel with people, a lot of people will not become Christian because it means they have to give up too much. When you become a Christian, you surrender your life to Jesus Christ because you believe that his way is the best way. Well, some people, they don't want to do that. They can't give up certain things. And they can't experience the best. Herod here, rather than worshiping the King of the Jews like the Magi will, he wants to destroy Jesus. Right? You'll see this throughout, you know, your life. Some of you, you'll be in a company, and you'll be promoted, and you'll be up for a promotion against someone else. And that person will try to sully you, to ruin you, so they can get the position. Right? Some of you might like the same guy or girl in high school or college. And don't be surprised if some other person spreads bad rumors about you, trying to sully your name so they can get the guy or the girl. It happens because they feel threatened. Just like Herod is trying to kill Jesus, people who are threatened by you, they will try to eliminate you. All right? And I have to watch myself. I'm trying to get a position at HBU. Maybe someone else is. And maybe there's a position that opens up and someone's going to say, well, Michael Chung is stupid. Michael Chung is dumb. Well, they're not completely wrong. But I've got to realize that there's people out there that when they're still threatened by you, okay, well, I write for sports. And whenever I write something that's breaking, other people attack me. Because they feel threatened by me. And I laugh. It's like, I'm a preacher here. They think I'm a sports writer. I'm a preacher of the gospel. That's what I am. I prayed with someone last night. I was interviewing them and then I prayed with them. Because for me, I've got to realize that God gave me this journalism for him. I don't know why. But hey, God's got me there, and I better use it for his glory while he keeps me there, right? So, people want to oppose Jesus too. Not everyone will accept Christ. We just have to accept that. That's the way it is. But we find that through the Magi that when you seek God, you will find him. Okay, who was the one who read verses 9 through 12? Was it Tiffany or was it Joy? Okay, Tiffany. Oh, Tiffany won. That's right. Is your mom here or dad? You read in Chinese and impress them? No, they're not here. Oh, okay, if they were here, I'd let you read in Chinese. They'd be like so happy. But can you stand up and read verses 9 and 10 through 12 of chapter 2? Okay. Remember, Herod told the Magi to go, when you find Jesus, tell me. And they were warned not to. So obviously God, they were probably thinking, oh, we found him, let's go tell Herod so he can come worship him too. And God's saying no. God's plan is being weaved. We think there's three wise men because gold, myrrh, and frankincense were the three gifts. But they were probably, there's probably a lot of Magi. And these are three very expensive gifts, okay? Remember I told you guys, be nice to your parents. They have a lot of gold. So Shannon's mom's here. Let me pick on your mom or am I going to get you in more trouble? Huh? She's quiet. She's smart. You raised a smart daughter. But a lot of Chinese have gold, right? Or I'm sorry, Taiwanese. Taiwanese and Chinese, a lot of them have gold. Is that right? Gold is very important in the Asian culture. Indians actually have more. So if you have any friends from India, be really nice to them. All right? They're really into gold. But Asian cultures like gold. All right? I'm hoping silver takes up, because I like silver a lot. It's cheaper. That's what it is. But I'm also hoping somebody will take off. It'll never be worth more than gold. The Bible says it. Okay, the Bible says gold is worth more than silver. So that I never have to worry about that. But I do hope that the ratio is closer. The point is that God is providing for Jesus. Remember, Herod is going to kill every child 2 years and under. Because when the Magi meet Jesus, he's probably almost 2 years old. If not, he's certainly at least a year and a half. So after all those movies that show the wise men come the night Jesus is born, it's wrong. Okay, they weren't there. Okay, Jesus was already in a house. So when they find Jesus, he's probably walking. And yet they know that he's the king of the Jews. They bow down and they worship him. And when Herod finds out that the Magi take off, because it's very obvious where they'd be. I mean, it's not like a big city like Houston. It's like a small city like Port Lavaca. Even smaller, actually. Jerusalem would probably be closer to the size of Port Lavaca than it would be to Houston. And so when the Magi leave, they probably know, because you just can't hide that big of a people. And so probably about a month went by, and Herod probably said, you know what? Those guys probably aren't going to come and see me. And so Herod decides, let me try to make sure I kill Jesus and kills every male child 2 years and under. Because Jesus was probably very close to 2 years old. Because the Magi have given Jesus, his parents, gold, myrrh, and frankincense, they're able to escape to Egypt. We know that they're poor, right? We know that Joseph is a poor man. And so in order for them to escape to Egypt, they would need money to live on. Joseph would use the gold. He would sell the myrrh and the incense, and they were probably fine. Herod probably dies very soon afterwards. Herod, they're probably not in Egypt that long, no more than a year, I'm guessing. And Herod dies. I mean, history says Herod dies in 4 B.C. So if Jesus was born in 6 B.C., he's probably not even there for a year. The guy up in College Station, he thinks Herod dies in 1 B.C. Jesus was born 3 B.C. So Herod, it probably dies a few months after Jesus flees. After he's trying to kill off all the kids, Herod probably dies soon afterwards. They're well taken care of. Most likely they're well taken care of because we see in Luke when Jesus goes to the temple, his parents are still there. They probably have some residual over that gift that the Magi gave them. They're not rich. But they need a lifestyle to support the Savior. They're probably not comfortable. They're probably still very poor, especially since the Roman government had heavy taxation. But the gift of the Magi was probably enough to help them, to ensure that the Savior had plenty until he would grow up. You know, he started his ministry around age 30. So this gift would have to sustain for a while. Obviously it worked. They were carpenters too. The point is that if you seek Jesus Christ, you'll find him. That's what the Bible says. That's why it's so important that we are out there sharing the gospel. Because we may not convert them initially, but if we can plant in the seed and they begin to seek Jesus, eventually they'll find him. And that's what the point of evangelism is. Evangelism is to place in people a desire to seek. Because the Bible says if they seek Jesus, they'll find him. And we know that the only true satisfaction that comes in this world is when Jesus is at the center. Right? No amount of money, no amount of grades, no amount of fame, accolades. Some of the most empty people in the world are the richest and most powerful and the most famous. These things do not fill your soul. I have to be careful. I told you guys this morning, I love Cole so much that he can become an idol. I can't wait to see him today because I haven't seen him much. First thing I'll do is I'll grab him, I'll kiss him, he'll be like, no. But he's so cute, I can't stop kissing the kid's cheeks. Right? Some of you know, right? He's cute, right? I'm not lying, right? Right? Right, Joy? You met him, right? He's cute, don't you think? I mean, if you don't think he's cute, it's okay. You're entitled to your opinion. I know Christina likes Cole a lot. She thinks he's adorable. Good photos. The point is, he can become an idol if I'm not careful. And I'm going to Indonesia in December. I've already made the decision, not because I want to. It's a brutal trip. It's like 30-some hours to get there and 41 hours back. I'm on the plane for 3 days of travel. That's brutal. I'm going to be eating lots of ginger because it helps me with my oxygen. The reason why I get so tired when you're on the plane is because of the oxygen deprivation. You know, you guys know that? Eating ginger helps. It's kind of gross, though. The point is, I do that because the Bible says, go into all the world. I'll be gone from Cole. I'll be exhausted. I'll be gone from Jody. And I can use the excuse, oh, he's so young, I don't want to miss a day. And I don't. I don't want to miss a day. Because I know he's going to grow up someday, and those cheeks aren't going to be so cute. I know that. That's just the way it is. Every day I enjoy it, because I know it's not going to last forever. And one of these days he's going to learn to talk, and he's going to start talking back to me. I'm not really not going to enjoy it like that. I already told him, if you start talking back to me, I'm going to whoop you. He has no idea what I'm saying. That's why I say it to him now. He doesn't understand. I hold him, and he's like, man, if you ever talk back to me, I'm going to whoop you. He's like, he just wants to get down. But if I use that excuse, I'll have more excuses not to serve God. Because serving God is not easy. It requires courage, and it requires sacrifice. And it's very easy to say no, because in America, we're very comfortable. Okay? Indonesia is not that bad, but it's still not America. It's just a brutal trip. I'm basically going to get there, teach, and come back. I don't want to stay there too long, so I'm going to have to deal with jet lag. I'm going to be exhausted for 2 weeks. I've just accepted that. But Cole needs to know that he's not the most important thing in my life. God is. And if I don't trust God with my life, if I don't trust God with the Word, Indonesia no needs someone like me. There's very few people who have my qualifications that are going. There's a lot of people that need training for the kingdom of God. And he's given me that gift. And I realize if I don't go, there's not necessarily someone behind me that will. And so I said, Lord, until they find my replacement, I commit to go every year until someone there can replace me. And Cole needs to know that. Even though he doesn't understand, when he grows up, he'll see that God was first, and that will help him. If I put him first, he'll think he's God. And he'll grow up a spoiled little brat. And he's going to get whooped a lot. By me. So the point is, when he grows up, I can't ensure that he will follow God. That's his choice. But if he doesn't see it in my life, I've just put a dagger in his heart. If when I'm preaching, I'm not living, then he will see the hypocrisy, and he won't follow God. Anyone I preach to, if I'm not living it, they'll see the hypocrisy, and my life won't be fulfilled. Imagine they see Jesus, they see he's king, they find him. And they experience something that nothing else they have experienced can give. They have wealth, they have power, but they find the Savior. We all must find the Savior as well. For them, it was a big sacrifice. They could have lost their lives to leave Persia. The comforts of Persia, they could have been killed by robbers. They could have been killed by natural disasters. They could have been killed when they got to Jerusalem, even though they probably had an army. No one would dare touch them. The point is, it was a sacrifice for them to leave to find Jesus. To find Jesus for all of us involves sacrifice as well. But when we find him, we will find a treasure that is worth more than any gold, myrrh, and frankincense on this earth. Let's pray. Father God, we know that not everyone will come into the kingdom, and that's sad. We know not everyone we know and love. That's just the reality. We've seen in your word that everyone responds differently. We pray for those that we know and love that don't know you, and we ask that you set them on the journey to seek you. But we pray in all of us that we will treasure our relationship with you, we will treasure eternal life, we will treasure heaven, and consider the small, petty riches of this world as crumbs compared to the banquet that's to come. And we must tell others. So give us that passion. Give us that burden. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.